sometimes in different situations, I found that the monks are treated one way and the nuns are treated another way. And I can give you some really nice examples. You want to hear an example? Okay. So my talk was not going to be about this, but maybe it's a good education process for you. So I was invited to a temple in Malaysia to teach, and I was staying overnight. So they had a room for the venerables, but I slept out in the corridor. I didn't sleep in a room. They moved a bed into the corridor, and I slept there. Why? Because they didn't treat men and women the same. They don't treat monks and nuns the same. Yeah. And I think for Buddhism to spread nowadays in modern society, it's incredibly important that we treat men and women equally. I know in the Vinaya there's, you know, different things, but I don't think we have to adhere to those strictly in the modern age, simply because if we did, many people would be discouraged from coming to the Dharma. And not only would the women be discouraged, but many men would also be discouraged. Because now in society, gender equality is something that's quite important for people. Okay? So I think that it's good for us as Buddhists to be aware of that, you know? I can give you another example. Okay, I'll just give you one more example. And then I won't tell you all the other stories. Okay, so I was asked by a Buddhist group, again in Malaysia, in KL, and they were going to have a panel discussion about mindfulness. So they invited one Theravada monk and me to be the panelists. Yeah, in terms of ordination order, or in ordination age, I was many years senior to him. Okay, but in any case, they told us that we have a half an hour to give our part, and then, you know, yeah, he would go first, and then I would go first, then I would go second. Okay, and then afterwards we would discuss. So we each had a half an hour. So he started to speak. He gave a very good talk. Yeah, he gave a very good talk. The clock came to a half an hour. He kept going. After about 40 minutes, 45 minutes, the MC finally said something like, you know, could you wrap it up so the other panelists could speak? And he said yes. And then he kept going. So his talk lasted a full hour. Half of that time was supposed to be the time I spoke. So when it came time for me to speak, I did not feel at all inspired to speak. He had given a very good talk, and the people at the Buddhist Center seemed fine with him taking up the whole time. So I just said, thank you very much, and you gave a good talk, and good night. You know, what else could I say? So I think these things, we because we are not living in ancient India, yeah, and we are not living in Thailand. We're living in Singapore, okay? And so the society here is different, and so I think we really need to bring more equality to monks and nuns. Yeah, and diversity is a very good, very big topic now in many centers. And again, I think we should be very welcoming and accommodating to everybody who wants to come. Okay? So whatever race they are, whatever religion they are, however old they are, if they are healthy, if they are disabled, it doesn't matter. Everybody should come. And we have facilities so that people can come and be comfortable. Yeah. So, yeah. Otherwise, where's our compassion? We're only compassionate for this group of people. Yeah. No, the Buddha, when he taught everybody. Yeah. When you read the sutras, he talked to everybody. You know, he talked to kings and Brahmins, but he talked to beggars also. Yeah. And he talked to the poor. And he talked to the merchants and he talked to the workers. And he didn't discriminate with anybody. So he's our teacher. And so we should follow his example, I think, as much as possible. Okay. Okay. Now. Now maybe I should give the talk about loving kindness. Okay. And to talk about loving kindness, what I had planned to talk about first was equalizing self and other and equalizing friend, enemy, and stranger. So right here in the teachings, yeah, before we even cultivate metta or karuna, mudita, upekkha, yeah, we try and eliminate partiality, favoritism, yeah, attachment to one group, aversion to another group, apathy to a third group. Yeah. In our mind, we're trying to really open and see the humanity in every living being, and not just human beings, but also to appreciate that animals and insects want to be happy and they don't want to suffer. But before I get into the talk, let's have a few minutes of silent meditation. And we'll generate the motivation and then we'll go into the talk. Okay? So you can come back, watch your breath. Yeah? Let your breath just flow normally and naturally. And then let's cultivate our motivation. And since the Buddha taught with loving kindness for everybody, no matter who they were, then as Buddha's disciples, we should listen with loving kindness to the teachings of the Buddha. And with a mind like the Buddha's mind that reaches out and encompasses all sentient beings, no matter we like them or don't like them or whatever. And so to train our mind to see that everybody equally wants happiness, everybody equally wants to be free of suffering, and thus to have metta, the wish for beings to be happy, to have happiness in its causes, to have that towards everybody, all living beings. So generate that motivation before we begin the talk so that we listen to the talk with a motivation similar to that of which the Buddha spoke about this talk. When I say everybody equally wants happiness and to be free of dukkha, of undesirable circumstances. I think we all understand that intellectually, yeah, don't we? Even, you know, when you go to school, you hear that our modern societies are democratic and they're founded on the idea that everybody has a vote and everybody can contribute in an equal way. Yeah. So that, in principle, that's not difficult to understand. When it comes to actually practicing it in our lives, we discover that we often have a lot of biases and prejudices, yeah, that we may not even recognize we have. Yeah. But if we watch closely, we can see them. Okay. And so there's some people that we feel very close to, that we respect, that we admire, that those people are kind to us, they take care of us, they encourage us, they help us when we're down. Okay, so we consider those people friends and we very easily become attached to them. Yeah. So those people have the same values that we are. They may be family members, so we kind of look the same in some ways. So easily to be partial towards those people. Then there's another group of people who, for whatever reason, did something that we don't like. Okay. Now, they could have done this intentionally. They could have done it unintentionally by accident. And we misinterpreted it and thought that they were harming us deliberately. Yeah. But when we think of those people, we go, ooh, I don't want to be near them, you know? Okay. So maybe when you went to school, there were bullies who made fun of you or who beat you up. You know, this is 20 years later. I don't want to see those people. Yeah. Or maybe there's some relative who criticized you at a family meal. And it's like, I'm not going near them. Okay. And then there's people who have different political views than we do. People who believe in different religions than we do. People from different countries with different cultures and different habits than ours. And we're kind of like, okay. Yeah, okay. You know, it's like we keep a distance from them. And then, of course, there's people that we actively hate. Yeah, that we're mad at. They did something we don't like, and we are vowing never to speak to that person again as long as we live. Yeah, do you have people like that in your life? Yeah, something they did, it's like, I am not speaking to that person again. Yeah. So I come from a family where that, you know, the siblings of one generation have that going on, the next generation. Yeah, you try and have a family event and you can't make a seating chart because this one doesn't speak to that one, who doesn't speak to this one, who doesn't speak to that one. So how do you put the different people together at a table? Okay, so, yeah. When we have that kind of partiality towards others, you know, attachment to one group, anger at another group, and with a third group, people who are strangers, yeah, who cares about them? Yeah, they just take up space. We want to go somewhere on the highway, and they are there on the highway blocking our way, you know? We walk down the street, there's just so many strangers around. And so we tend to ignore them. when you have to reschedule something at an airlines and you finally manage to speak to a real person, you know, we just kind of treat that person, we don't treat them like a human being. We treat them as they're just there to do their job and give me what I want. Yeah, but I don't really care much about them. Okay. So, you know, attachment, antipathy, and apathy. Those three emotions, we discriminate that with people. Yeah. That is very, very superficial discrimination. Yeah. Based on some event or a few events that happened this life, yeah, that we may have misunderstood. And that's all. But based on one event, we think we know who that person is. Yeah? And for the people we don't like, that's it. They don't get a second chance. Yeah? For the people that aren't kind to us, we forgive their mistakes. Okay? So we have a lot of biases and prejudices on an individual, personal level with people. But then in society as a whole, you know, we all live in multicultural, diverse societies. I was thinking about it, and I can't think of one country on this planet where every single person in that country is the same race, the same religion, and the same culture. I couldn't think of one country like that. Yeah. So Singapore, definitely diverse. You have three different population groups, actually more than three different population groups here in Singapore, okay? And so you have the opportunity to really, you know, be an example for the world of people from different backgrounds living harmoniously together. Yeah. My country also has people from all different walks of life. It was founded, America was founded by people who didn't fit in where they lived. Really? Yeah. Seriously? They did not fit in where they lived, you know, or they were economically oppressed, they were discriminated against. I mean, that's why my ancestors came to America. My grandparents came to America because they were being persecuted in Eastern Europe. Okay. So you wind up with cultures, with all different sorts of people. And personally speaking, I think that's the beauty of a country. You know, when there's so many different kinds of people who can live there harmoniously, it makes the place beautiful. Yeah. When I go back to the States and I show them my American passport, and in front of me and behind me, there's Chinese people, there's Indian people, there's people from the Middle East, there's tall people and short people and poor people. Everybody's in that line. And that is the time when I feel proud of my country. Yeah. I don't feel proud of my country because we send weapons and we start wars. Yeah, I do not like when my country does that. But when I stand in that line and I see so many different kinds of people, I feel good, you know? We're doing something good as a society, you know? And so Singapore is similar in that way. It's different kinds of people. It's something very good, something to be proud of in your country. Okay. But on a personal level, even though everybody here, you know, has equal rights, on a personal level, do the Indians and the Chinese and the and the Malays and, you know, the Chinese. Now you have Chinese from China who are different than the Chinese in Singapore. Yeah, I hear that a lot. People tell me, oh, those Chinese, you know. And then you have people from the Middle East. You have white people. You know, yeah. So on a personal level, you know, from day to day, do people show respect to people from other groups? Yeah. Or do we talk badly about people from other groups in the same way that we talk badly about the people who personally harm us? Okay. So I think, you know, when you take the Buddha's teachings on equanimity, which does away with attachment to my group, yeah, aversion to other groups, apathy towards everybody else, or attachment to friends and relatives, aversion to people who harm me personally, and again, apathy towards everybody else. Yeah, if you take the Buddha's teachings, which are remedying that kind of discrimination, you know, then it applies to everybody. Yeah, and we see by the Buddha's life, that's exactly how he lived. So how do we get from our present bias and discrimination to having an open heart towards everybody? Okay. One way, there's several different ways. One way is by looking deeply in every living being's heart, even the cockroaches, okay, even the ants, yeah, even the spiders. Every living being inside the depth of their being, what is most important to them? Yeah. Everybody wants to be happy and not suffer. Yeah. Why does the cockroach scurry away when they see you? Because you're bigger than them and they're afraid. Yeah. But you're afraid of the cockroaches. Cockroaches are like this big. They can't step on you and kill you by stepping on you. We step on the cockroaches. Yeah. And then they're a goner like that. They don't have any choice. But if we look in everybody's heart, yeah, even the people who have, you know, have different political opinions, even we look at Putin right now, who started this unnecessary war that is killing thousands of people. Yeah? Everybody in their inner being just wants happiness and not problems, not suffering. And in that way, we are all completely identical. Yeah? The other stuff, the race, the religion, the culture, how they treat us in this life is very superficial. Yeah. And when we consider that we all take multiple births, yeah, all those people who are in different groups in this life were once our parents, were once our loved ones. And in future lives, they could be our parents or our children or our loved ones. So there's no such thing in Buddhism of an evil person. Yeah, of an enemy who we always have to be afraid of. There's no such thing. Yeah. Even Mara in the scriptures. Okay. Mara's just trying to be happy. He's very confused about what creates the causes of happiness. So he does all these weird things in the suttas. But He's just trying to be happy. That's all. Yeah. He's not an evil person. So it is with everybody and every group. So sometimes people say that they feel lonely. And I think one very good remedy to loneliness is to practice looking at every person around you and thinking that person wants to be happy and not suffer as intensely as I do, as intensely as everybody else does. Yeah, this is a very good practice when you're on the MRT, okay? Look around at the people. Yeah, you don't know them, anything about their lives, except you know they're a sentient being who wants happiness and not suffering. And when you know that, you know something very intimate, very deep about each living being. Yeah. So do this practice whenever you're in a group. You come here. We don't all know each other. Yeah. I came in the room. I know a handful of you, not very many. Yeah. What am I going to say? Oh, you're all strangers, so I don't care what happens to you. Yeah. I'm not going to spend my time with you because I don't know you. You don't benefit me. That, you know, what kind of Buddhist would I be if I had that kind of attitude and behavior? It would be awful. Okay? So it is with everybody, and to really train our mind, when you're in a train station, when you're in an airport, this meditation, very good to do when you're stuck in a traffic jam. Don't close your eyes when you're on PIE and sit in the driver's seat like this. Don't do that. But you look around at everybody sitting in traffic with you. They all want happiness. They don't. Nobody wants to suffer. Yeah. So why should you cut off anybody else when you're driving? Now, I know none of you cut off other drivers. Yeah, none of you do. Yeah, you're good people. But all those other people on the road, they cut you off, right? But you never do that, even by accident, you know. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe you do it if they cut you off. You speed up and you cut them off. Yeah, who suffers from road rage here? I knew it. Nobody. Who is not telling the truth? Okay. So this kind of meditation, very good. Yeah. I'll just give you a little example about road rage too, yeah, because people often ask me about that. One of my friends was having a baby and she wanted to deliver it at home with a midwife. So I was at her house. I was going to be her spiritual coach while she's having the baby. Okay, so she goes into labor. And she's in labor a really long time, and she's not dilating properly. So we decide that it's better if she goes to the hospital to, you know, have the baby. So, you know, we put her in the car. She's still having contractions. You know, we've all read stories of women who deliver babies in a car because they can't get to the hospital soon enough. So we're driving to the hospital and, you know, driving maybe a little bit faster than you usually drive, you know, so that the baby doesn't come out at a stoplight, you know. Okay. So thankfully, nobody got mad at us at all. Yeah. But every time I see a situation of road rage, I think there could be somebody in that car that's driving that way because there's a woman who's about to deliver a baby. Or there's somebody who's very ill who maybe just had a stroke or who just broke a limb. And that's why they're driving that way. And so I figure somebody who wants to go ahead, let them go ahead. Yeah, they get there one car length earlier than I do. Yeah? Why do I risk having an accident by cutting somebody off? That's not too wise, okay? So one remedy to this partiality is everybody wants happiness, nobody wants suffering, okay? Another remedy, and here's a quotation from His Holiness Dalai Lama, because some people, you know, when His Holiness talks about cherishing others more than self, people go, why should I cherish others more than myself? I mean, I'm very important, you know, and if I don't cherish myself, everybody else is going to step on me and run over me. And so, you know, I have to cherish myself. Okay. So they ask this question to His Holiness. His Holiness says, if you want to be happy, be wisely happy and cherish others. And the people look at His Holiness like this. What do you mean? If I want to be happy, I should cherish others. No, I should cherish myself if I want to be happy. And His Holiness goes, no. Yeah. Why? Why is the remedy to cherish others? Because when we look at our behavior, when we just cherish ourselves, okay? Why do you cut somebody off on the highway? Because you cherish yourself. Why do you butt in line in front of somebody else? Because you cherish yourself, okay? Why, when somebody insults you, do you insult them back? And not just insult them back like they did to you, you then go and talk behind their back and tell a lot of people how mean and awful they were. Yeah, we get even. We ruin their reputation. Okay, so what happens then? Okay, we cherish ourselves more than others, so we lie to get what we want. We backbite to take revenge. We insult to get our idea of justice. You insult me, I'll insult you. That's fair. Yeah. Gandhiji said, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, then the whole world would be blind and nobody would be able to eat properly. Yeah? If we always get even due to somebody else what they've done to us. Okay. So look what happens if we cherish ourselves and harm others. Yeah? When we harm others, yeah? Do they go, oh, thank you very much? When we backbite, yeah? Do people go, oh, you ruined my reputation. I'm so happy. I've been wanting that to happen. Yeah? No, what do? They're upset. They're angry. They lash back at you. If you're physically violent, the people who you slug you back. Okay, then what happens? Are you happy then? No. Yeah, then you are embroiled in a dispute that could be verbal, it could be physical, with some other person. Does that make you happy? Does that make anybody happy? No. Then your whole life is preoccupied by how can I get revenge? You know, and thinking, they did this to me. Why did they do this to me? What can I do towards them? You spend hours thinking of the most painful thing you can say to some relative who embarrassed you. Yeah. That make you happy? Well, with some people say, yes, I got even. That relative embarrassed me, and now I said exactly the thing I know they're sensitive about, and they look really unhappy. Ooh, I'm so happy. What kind of person does that make you, that you're happy when other people suffer? Yeah? What kind of person does that make you? There's so much suffering in the world. But what do? We create more. Yeah. What do you say at holiday time, at Chinese New Year time? May everybody be happy. May everybody live in peace. But does your behavior make other people happy? Does your behavior make families and societies peaceful? Okay. So this is why His Holiness said there's another point in here. If other people are miserable and you live in a society, yeah, where there's a big difference between rich people and poor people, yeah, and there's a lot of suffering people in that society, then you're going to live in a place with a lot of suffering people. Is that pleasant? Is that a pleasant environment? No. So then you usually live in a gated community. You lock everybody else out, except the people who maybe you don't pay equal wages to. You let them in so they can come work for you. Okay. This is not such a problem in Singapore. It's a big problem in America. Okay, the difference between rich and poor. Then you live in a society where with other people who are unhappy. Are unhappy people just going to be content living in a society where they're oppressed and unhappy? No, they're going to speak up. Yeah. And then there's going to be social turmoil. Yeah. So when you're greedy and you just take care of yourself, instead of, then you're going to wind up living in a place where there's social turmoil, yeah, where people don't get along. Yeah. If you cherish others, then you're generous. You give money to charities. Yeah. You support other people who are in need. You don't just think about yourself and your family. Yeah. Then you live in a place that is peaceful. Yeah. So I heard taxes are going up by 1% next year. Yeah. In my country, if that happened, people would be yelling and screaming in the streets. Yeah, it's not very pleasant. It's not pleasant at all. But there's a reason why they would do that, because some people are not given fair wages, or some people are not given the legal papers to be able to be legally employed in the U.S. Yeah. And so those were actually the people during COVID who kept the country going. The rich people stayed home. The poor people ran the gas stations, stocked the stores, worked in retail, worked in food places. You know, they were the farmers. Those are the people who kept the country going during COVID. Yeah. They also had the highest death rate because they were out in public. But why did that happen? Because people just take care of themselves and not take care of others. Okay? So that's why His Holiness said, if you want to be happy, take care of other people. Then you live with happy people. It's much nicer living with happy people, isn't it? Yeah. And when you take care of other people, when you're generous, when you live an ethical life, yeah, then you feel good about yourself. At the end of the day, when you go to sleep, there's no guilt, there's no regret. You rejoice at your actions. You feel good about yourself. Yeah, that's peace of mind. And nobody else is going to give us peace of mind. We create peace of mind by living ethically, you know, and cherishing the people around us. Okay, so think about this. Yeah, really think about it. The Buddha had something here when he talked about this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so another reason why to equalize everybody, yeah, is everybody's been kind to us. Yeah. In this life, yeah, even actually, you know, we can see the kindness of friends and relatives, but actually strangers are the people who have been really kind to us. Yeah. Does anybody know the people who built this building? Do you know the architect? Do you know the contractor? Do you know the workers who worked under the hot sun to build this building? Do you know the people who made the flooring? Yeah, who made the Buddha statue? Who work at the PUD so that we have electricity? Do you know the people who are the plumbers who put in the toilets? Bless those people, huh? Toilets are important. Don't you think? Yeah. Everybody is very happy to give money for Buddhist statues in a temple. Yeah. So then maybe you have a temple with dozens of Buddhist statues and people can't go there for very long because there's no toilets. Yeah. If you want to help sentient beings, you also have to build toilets. Right? Yeah. Okay. So everybody, this is especially strangers, those people have been incredibly kind to us. They make the cars that you drive. They make the buses. You know, who mind if you get the metal to make the car? Yeah. Who made the cloth that your car seats are made out of? Or if your car seats are made of leather, who gave up their life so that their skin could become your car seat? Hmm? Okay. So when we look around, actually we see that we are the recipients of an incredible amount of kindness again and again and again and again. And mostly from strangers. Do we ever even thank those strangers? Yeah. When your garbage collector comes by, do you thank the garbage collector for picking up your garbage? Okay. This is important. You may say, oh, what's she talking about? Garbage collectors are an incredibly important in society. Yeah. I was in Tel Aviv when the garbage collectors went on strike. You do not want to be in a major city when the garbage collectors are not working. The garbage bags were piled up on the streets. Yeah, you wondered how many rats were running between them. Yeah, we should thank our garbage collectors. You know, the people who work on the highways, on the roads to repair them. Yeah. What do we, and so we have to go slow while they're doing the repair work. Do we ever stop and wave at them and say thank you? But if they didn't repair the roads, where would we be? What would we be driving in? It'd be like a third world here, wouldn't it? We'd be driving on dirt roads or gravel. Yeah. And yet, you know, so these people are doing really important things. People who correct the electricity, who climb, the linemen who climb to the top of the electric poles. Anybody here want to climb to the top of an electric pole? Any volunteers? Yeah. Where we live, you know, at Shravasti Abbey, we have four distinct seasons. And in the winter, I mean, right now there's snow. Sometimes when it snows, the snow accumulates on the wires and the wires break. Sometimes, because we're in a forested area, the trees will break off, or big branches of trees will break off because there's so much snow on them. And the branches crash onto the electric wires and the electricity goes out in the middle of winter. Fun! Yeah. This is what the people in Ukraine are going through now due to the kindness of the Russian missiles. Yeah. They have no electricity in many of the places. Yeah. And winter's coming and it's cold there. Yeah. But where we live, you know, the linemen will go out in the middle of winter and they will repair the electricity. Or other times during the year, we get a lot of wind, you know, and it's vroom. And again, it will blow down trees that break the electric wires. Yeah, it might happen at night. The linemen go out in the middle of the night to repair the electric lines. Yeah. Do we thank these people? Yeah. When you go into the PUD, yeah, do you thank them for what they're doing? I mean, really, we sometimes take things so much for granted instead of really seeing the kindness that people show us all the time. Now, somebody may say, well, they didn't repair the electricity and they're not repairing the roads for me. To be kind to me, you have to do it especially for me. Huh? Okay, huh? So it's only kindness when they think of you as an individual? No. The point is, the bottom line here is, if they didn't do their job, for whatever motivation they had for doing it, if they didn't do their job, where would we be? We'd be living like you know, like the cavemen, cavewomen, you know? But it's really due to the kindness of all these people that we have a modern society that functions. And we have medical care, and we have so much. Yeah. So it's important to appreciate all the citizens in the country and see the kindness of all of them. Yes, we may have different political views. We may have different religious views. We may have different views about how you cut the carrots. It doesn't matter, you know? We depend on everybody to stay alive. another group that of people that we don't appreciate, teachers. Okay. Teachers, you know, you're a little kid. Remember when you're a little kid? Yeah. Morning time. Do I have to go to school? I don't want to go to school. Yeah. My mom told me later that when I was little, when I was like in primary one, that in the morning I would be sick. But as soon as I heard the school bus go around the corner and go away, then I felt better. Okay. But, I mean, look how hard teachers work to take care of us and to teach us, you know, and our parents too. I mean, we take the ability to speak and communicate for granted, but it's only because when we were babies, people held us and went goo goo ga ga, and you know, ta ta too too, and showed us how to move our lips to make different sounds. Yeah, then we learned how to speak. If they didn't do that, you know, we'd still be like babies crying in the middle of the night. Hmm? And then the ability to read and write. We weren't born with that. Teachers taught us. Yeah. How many of you here are teachers or were teachers? Yeah. She and I were both teachers. Huh? You were a teacher. Yeah. Okay. People just take teachers for granted. It's like, although I heard in Singapore they have a teacher's day. Do you have a teacher's day where you show appreciation for your teacher? That's very good. That's very good. In the U.S., no. In fact, in the U.S. now, some people, because of the school shootings, want the teachers to carry guns. That's outrageous, isn't it? Totally outrageous. But that's what people are saying. Well, you know, you want to stop the school shootings. Yeah, they don't want stricter gun laws. Yeah, they just say the teachers should carry guns. What are you talking about? Yeah. So it's difficult being a teacher. I mean, you have all these little kids. You know, although Singaporean kids, I think, are better behaved than American kids. Yeah. 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 I mean, you're more obedient. No, you don't agree? No? Okay. American kids are like, you know. But, you know, to really appreciate what teachers go through to educate us. Yeah. It's not easy being a teacher. Another thing we used to do in grammar school is somebody would pass around a note. At 10 o'clock, everybody dropped their ruler. Okay, it got passed around. Then, you know, the teacher's in the middle of a lesson. It's 10 o'clock. We all took our rulers out. Boing! And interrupted the lesson. Yeah. No appreciation for what our teachers were trying to do. Okay. So when we think like this and we really see the kindness of others, then this discrimination and the prejudice, the bias, the favoritism, it evaporates. And we can look at each living being and see deep in their hearts, they want to be happy, they don't want to suffer. And at some time or another, in the past, present, and future, many times, they have been kind to us. Yeah. As our mind changes and thinks like this, we become so much happier, so much more peaceful, so much more tolerant. Yeah. And we all know in families, especially, people need to be peaceful and tolerant. Yeah. People tell me a lot of their family problems. Yeah. And sometimes it sounds to me like parents are more like army drill sergeants. Okay, get up. Go brush your teeth. Wash behind your ears. Eat quickly. Get in the car. Have you done your homework? You didn't? Go back and do it. Can't go out and play. Gotta do tuition. After tuition, gotta study. After study, you gotta do your homework. No time for playing because you're 6 years old and you have to get into a good university. Yeah, give kids a break. You know, they're little kids. Let them play. Teachers know that kids learn a lot when they can play because playing brings out creativity. Playing brings out cooperation. Yeah. So, you know, treat your family members well. Okay, we know you had a hard day at work. Yeah. But do you go home and you unlock the door to the flat and you go and you plop yourself on the sofa? And then you scream at your kids or your wife or your husband, get me something to drink, I'm exhausted. Yeah. You don't even say hello. Yeah. I think before you go in your home every day when you're coming back from work, stop before you unlock the door and think, I'm going in to see the people that I love the most. I'm going to see the people that I treasure the most, and I'm going to be kind to them. Yeah. You just stop and think that before going in. It will change your marriage. Yeah. Seriously, people who are married, it's hard being married, isn't it? Yeah, easier to be a nun. Okay. No, but seriously, if you're married, you have to learn to cooperate. You have to learn to compromise. You have to learn to appreciate the people that you see every day instead of expecting them to be your servants. Mm-hmm. Okay. So very important, you know, before you go home after work, I'm going to be with the people I cherish, who I love, and I'm going to be kind to them. Yeah, when you wake up in the morning, yeah, today what's very important is most important thing I do today is not harm anybody. Most important thing I do today is to be kind to others, starting with my family members, starting with my neighbor who plays their television at 3 a.m. Yeah, I'm going to be kind to others. And that's actually the most important thing we have to do every day is to not harm and to be kind. You're going to look and say, no. Most important thing I do every day is make money. It's not making money. Yeah. Yep. You have a lot of money. You have a lot of sheets of paper. Yeah. When you're hungry, can you eat paper? Yeah. Money is not going to help you always. You know, it's other people that are the kind ones to us. And so to really look at them with eyes of kindness. It doesn't matter if they look back to you with eyes to kindness. It doesn't matter if they don't treat you right. You do your part to be kind. Okay. I mean, I experienced that. I walked down the street one time in Singapore. This was several years ago. I was just taking a walk down the street, and one car drives by, and the guy is like this. As the car is going this way, and he just saw a ghost, you know, who happened to be me. Yeah. So what do I do? You know, I smile and I wave. I don't go, okay, yeah. So it doesn't matter how people look at you. You respond with kindness. Okay. So it's time to stop. Do we have time for questions?
Yes, maybe one or two, if that's okay.
Okay, so a few questions, yeah.
Regarding your, I'm just doing my sharing based on my observation here. Regarding you, I mean, you see earlier that sometimes you feel that you are treated differently because you are women, right? From my own opinion, I think sometimes it could be because of the different Buddhist tradition. So for example, certain places you go, they are pro Theravada and you are Mahayana. So maybe they would unconsciously, the person there, they will have this habit of putting the Theravada first. I mean, then on certain places where they are more pro-Mahayana, they will put the Theravada. I mean, in my own experience, so certain places that are more Mahayana, they will put the, treat the Theravada slightly differently, yeah.
So this is another viewpoint of how we discriminate that is not reasonable.
Yeah, because the problem is it's not with the tradition, it's actually with our defilements, actually. We are the one that give the label. Yeah, so I hope that we can actually overcome the problems with the different, tradition part. It doesn't matter which tradition we are from.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so this is a problem in the Buddhist world, you know? Like the Theravadas look at the Mahayana and say, you people aren't really Buddhist. You have scriptures that are all made up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Mahayana look at the Theravada and go, you people are selfish. And we all have the same teacher. Okay, His Holiness Dalai Lama and I did one book. It's called Buddhism, One Teacher, Many Traditions. And His Holiness's reason for writing the book is to bring Buddhist traditions together in mutual understanding to see that we're all going in the same direction. Yeah, and we shouldn't criticize each other. My own experience is that a lot of this stuff comes because of rumors and superstition passed down from ancient times. Because in ancient times, people from different traditions couldn't meet each other. So what did they hear? You know, they heard rumors about this, that, and the other thing. Yeah? But they never bothered to check if the rumors are correct. But they just teach them to their students. Okay? So this is a problem in the Buddhist world, and we really need to work on it. So read that book, because it's, you know, Buddhism, One Teacher, Many Traditions. It's so interesting to see how the traditions are very similar and how, you know, something is in the Theravada and the Mahayana builds in it, you know, builds on it. And we're all trying to get out of samsara equally. So we should respect each other equally, no matter which tradition, no matter men or women, no matter old or young. Yeah, some people are prejudiced against old people. You know, oh, old people, they don't know how to use computers. Yeah. Okay, just because we need to ask three-year-olds how to do things on the computer, you know, we're not totally stupid. Okay. Okay, but I think it's important that we overcome that. Yeah. In the U.S., we have every year until COVID, and we'll revive it in the future. Every year, we would have a meeting for 5 days of the Sangha from the different Buddhist traditions. It was not a conference. We did not present papers. We did not produce a publication. It was an informal gathering where we could just talk to each other as human beings. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It really brought so much respect and closeness between the traditions. Yeah. So I think we need things like that. Like I said, it's not a conference. Conference, everybody's there reading their paper, wanting to impress everybody else with how wise they are. Yeah. That's not what we want. Okay. We want people meeting together as people and getting to know each other.
Thank you, Venerable. Okay. Maybe one last question. Uh-huh. There is one brother.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you for your lesson on loving kindness. I have two questions.
Okay. Only one at a time.
Yeah, I try to be short.
Be very short. No, truly, because I need short, clear questions to respond to.
I try my best. All right. So the first question is, do we act if we see wrongdoings? It could be something simple as we see somebody littering or cutting the queue, or in a more serious case, seeing somebody getting bullied by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't act, does that mean we let the wrongdoing continue? If we act, how do we avoid disappointment if things don't go our way? Then second question.
Stop. Okay, first question, I understand. Okay, if the situation is such that we can intervene and stop harm, we should definitely intervene and stop harm. Now, we can be creative in the way we stop harm. Yeah, let's say two people are fighting. You don't have to go in there and punch one and punch the other. Okay, because then you're just going to get punched too. I talked to one woman. She was hilarious. And she was telling me that at one time in a park, she saw a man bullying a woman, I think probably his wife. And he was kind of bullying her. And I can't remember exactly what she did, but she did some kind of crazy, nutty thing. She started dancing in front of them, or walking around singing in front of them, or something like that. It totally distracted them. Yeah, they stopped. I heard of another situation of a woman walking across Central Park in New York at night, and that can be dangerous. And she had a bunch of packages. She had gone shopping. She's walking across the park, and she hears footsteps behind her, and she knows somebody is following her. Okay. So what does she do? She turns around with her packages. She hands the packages to the guy behind her and says, "Here, carry these." She walks ahead, and the guy follows her, carrying the packages. She gets to the other side of the park. She turns around. She says, "Thank you very much," and takes the packages. Yeah, that's creative. Yeah. I heard of another story of another woman walking down the street, and some guy behind was, you know, saying, "Hey, babe, you know, let's go out together." And she's like, "Oh, I don't want to go near you." She turns around and she says, "Sorry, I'm busy tonight." And walks. You know? because he wanted to intimidate her. So there's many ways to be creative in these kind of situations. Yeah. So the trick is to be creative. Okay. Now, I'm not going to let you ask your second question because we've had two men ask questions. I want a question from a woman. Okay.
Any questions from sisters? Oh, yeah, there is one.
Venerable, it's actually about the posters that participants may have seen at the counter outside about the Buddha Hall. So we're wondering whether you would be able to share a bit more about the Buddha Hall and how it may benefit to spread the Dharma.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Did you show the video about the Buddha Hall at all? No. Okay. Maybe we'll show it later. So the Abbey is, we're located in Washington State, not Washington, D.C. We're far away from there, on the other side of the country. And we, you know, 19 years ago, we established a monastery, a training monastery in the West. And we started out the first residence, me and two cats. Those are the first residents of the monastery. Now we have 20 monastics, four trainees, and four cats. So it's growing. Yeah. And so we've had to build more buildings. And especially our meditation hall is too small for everybody. And we don't have any separate classrooms. So now all the teachings are held in the dining room. That's not optimum for holding teachings. Okay, and sometimes even when we have a lot of guests coming from retreat, the meditation happens in the dining room too, because there's not enough space. So we're building a Buddha Hall. It's 17,000 square feet, and it's going to have a main hall. It's going to have a posada room where the monks and nuns do their Vinaya things. It's going to have a couple of other meditation halls in it too. It's going to have a big library, a big AV department, so we can continue producing audiovisual material and doing things on Zoom. What else do we have? Yeah, different classrooms and offices. So it's a big project. It's the biggest of all the projects we've done so far. And it's really important so that to establish the monastic community in the West, because historically speaking, it's been the job of the monastic community to preserve the teachings for another generation. Yeah. And so it's important to establish the monastic community there. And then also we have retreats and we welcome lay people to come for courses and retreats. So to have a big enough facility to house all of those people and to have them, you know, be able to sit comfortably when they're hearing teachings and meditating. So so we're building a Buddha Hall. The statues are being made by a man that we know, a friend of mine actually, who lives in France. And so we're having the central figure, of course, is the Buddha. On one side, we're having Ananda. Yeah, this is usually you have Shariputra and Moggallana. Yeah, we're having Ananda on one side. And on the other side, we're having Mahaprajapati, the first nun who began the nun's order, who was the Buddha's stepmother and who nursed him and took care of him as a child. Yeah. And so we've discovered in the world so far only four statues of Mahaprajapati, and ours will be the fifth. Yeah? She's a major figure in the Buddha Dharma. but hardly any statues. Yeah. Similarly, Ananda, we usually don't see in statues either. But Ananda, I mean, he was the Buddha's attendant. We are so indebted to him, aren't we? Yeah, he was the one who recited all the sutras at the first council. Okay, so we're doing things, you know, a little bit different, but definitely within, you know, the scope of Buddhism. Yeah, so, so if people want to become involved, you know, you can go to shravastiabhi.org. And then if you, where's Dunya? There, oh, our tech man. yeah, so he's made some videos about the Abbey and also about the Buddha Hall. So he can show those afterwards. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, whoever would like to help get involved, yeah, please do. And be sure and come and visit us. And, you know, take teachings and do some retreats there, too.